From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the Lord's Prayer with another portion of a message called The Essence and End of All True Prayer. First of all, please enjoy this sermon clip from the Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Armin Tomassian.
There was a testimony in the church there that they were helping others, they were being hospitable, they were being practical, they were sending money, they were giving themselves to love others, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. Their lives were very, very evidently taking on the gospel, and it was conforming their lives in such a way that they looked at others and saw their responsibility in the lives of other people. Very important thing. You can be so doctrinally precise, but if people do not, if they come into contact with you and they do not sense any practical love shown to others, you can talk and preach until you're blue in the face. They will not believe that you really believe what you say you believe. There has to be the practical outworking of the truth in love. Real love. Now you can say, and I can say, I love all y'all. I can say that. And you can say it. But we all know it has to be seen. Felt through the practical outworking of seeing need, rising to the challenge that providence brings our way. I see that brother in need. There he is. If I'm not moved toward him to help, can I say I'm a Christian? It's a challenge of the Word of God.
See the darkness.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. In the concluding words of the Lord's Prayer, we are called upon to think upon the greatness of God as we pray. In approaching this aspect of prayer, Dr. Cairns has emphasized that praise to God has always been the hallmark in the prayers of every great prayer warrior. True prayer is not desperation, but devotion. As we focus on the power and faithfulness of our God, we will find great cause for hope, no matter what our circumstances. Then we'll see that true prayer is not self-will, but submission to God's will. All too often we seek to impose our wills upon the Lord, but it must not be. God's glory is to be first and foremost in all our praying. Now to continue this message, the essence and end of all true prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
when a Christian really gets alone with God and catches some sight by faith of the absolute greatness of God, and they can honestly say, "Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory," that Christian will say, "Lord, in my circumstance, the supreme answer to my prayer will be that the Lord will be magnified." That is the supreme answer. Think of the outstanding example of this in the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. Lying in prison, he writes a letter to one of his favorite congregations, the church in Philippi. He has beautiful memories, not of everything in Philippi, for that's where he was so brutally treated, scourged, and then thrown into jail. But through that he saw a great church established, a church that lay near to his heart. And he had these great memories of fellowship with great saints in Philippi. His heart was warm that when others forsook him, these saints stood by him. When others forgot him, they sent once and again to support him. They were his friends and his colleagues. They were never ashamed of their Father in Christ. As he lay there in a Roman jail, he believed that God had given him good ground to hope that he would be released. That was against all the odds, mind you. There was no chance, humanly speaking, that Paul could be released. None whatsoever. But he felt that God had given them good ground to believe he'd be released and that he would get back to Philippi. As he wrote to them, he said, "There are people here who are taking advantage of my imprisonment, and they're everybody's talking about Jesus. Everybody's talking about the gospel. Some are doing it sincerely. Some are doing it out of malice just to add more fuel to the fire that's burning against me." And then this is what he said. "I know that this shall turn to my salvation or my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Understand what he's saying. He's saying, "Brethren, you have prayed that I will be released. Though I would rather go to heaven, I have prayed for your sake that I will be released. And I believe that God has heard our prayer. We have put this desire, we have expressed this will before God. But what is the supreme answer? Whether it is in my living or whether it is by my dying, let Christ be magnified." That's the attitude that a true view of God begets in us when we pray. It makes our praying a spiritual exercise of the submission of our souls to the will, to the purpose and to the honor of God. So true prayer is not desperation but devotion. It is not an expression of self-will but of submission. And the third and last thing, ultimately, it is not earthly but heavenly. Now obviously when you pray, you must deal with things on earth. You can't pray without dealing with things on earth. But true prayer recognizes that it is the God of heaven who governs all those things on earth. What I'm saying is that true prayer refuses to make heaven the servant of earth, to make eternity the servant of time, or to make God the servant of man. True prayer refuses to do that. It rather turns it all around. True prayer makes earth the servant of heaven, time the servant of eternity, and man the servant of God. And so in this doxology, the Lord Jesus shows us what we really do in prayer and why it is that we pray. Thine is the kingdom. When we say that, we celebrate the sovereignty of God. Without that, you know, prayer would be a farce. This is why I grieve over Christians who fight the doctrine of God's absolute sovereignty, who want to redefine words and rewrite scripture every time it speaks of God's eternal purpose, God's eternal predestination, God's eternal foreordination, God's absolute power in disposing of the things of earth. I grieve over Christians who rebel against those truths because, listen, without a genuine celebration of the absolute sovereignty of God, praying is a farce. It's an exercise in frustration. Remember Rachel's plea to Jacob? In Genesis chapter 30, verses 1 and 2, we read that she said to Jacob, this is after her sister Leah had produced four sons, and she was still childless, and she was the beloved wife, and she said to Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? Now just imagine for a minute, if we were condemned to pray to a God who had no more ultimate authority over the affairs of earth than Jacob had over Rachel's fertility. Rachel, or should I say Jacob, had all the goodwill in the world toward Rachel. He would want to say every encouraging thing to her. He would want to pronounce the blessing of children upon her. But benevolence is not enough in this. He didn't have the authority. This is something that was outside of his field of authority. And she was just frustrating herself and angering him and saying, give me children or I die. Now, if God had only a general benevolence toward us, if he only wished to do us good, if he was not ultimately, absolutely sovereign, our praying would just be as frustrated and foolish as Rachel's plea to Jacob. Thank God we come to the God who is utterly and entirely sovereign. You remember how Daniel said the Lord would teach that to King Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar said, I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? You know that old heathen king learned far more quickly from a single experience. Now, it was rather a prolonged experience, but it was a single experience. He learned far more quickly than many of God's professing people learn after years of studying the Bible. Our God is sovereign. Psalm 6 or 10 verse 16 says, of the Lord is King forever and ever. And I want to tell you, when you talk about the kingship of Jehovah, it's not a constitutional monarchy. He is not king because of the will of his subjects. He is not king because of the votes of his people. His kingship is not trammeled or contained or bounded by the acts of a human parliament. He is the absolute monarch in whom we live and move and have our being. As Paul said to Timothy, our God is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We celebrate that when we pray. Listen, here's why. Because with that realization, when we come to pray, we can say, as did the leper in Matthew 8, when he came to Christ. Interesting. The first man recorded in the Gospels to address Jesus as Lord was a poor leper. This is not insignificant. Recognizing the Lordship of Christ, confessing it before Peter or James or John or anybody else confessed it. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. The only limitation in what God does is what God wills. And I want to tell you, my friend, that is not a barren doctrine. Unlike the Arminian caricature of this, this is not something that will destroy your prayer life. This is not something that will destroy your love for souls. This is not something that will make you cold and academic and philosophical. This is something that will set your heart on fire and drive you to your knees and give you confidence when you pray. Think of it. When you come to God with a situation that's totally out of your control, you come to God with a burden that's too heavy for you to bear, with a problem that's too difficult for you to solve. It needs greater wisdom and power than you can ever muster. You come to God and you say, Lord, I celebrate your sovereignty. If you will, you have the power. You can do it. You have the authority. You can do it. I want to tell you, this is not an earthly perspective. This is heavenly.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.